The title of our message this morning is, What You Don't Know Will Hurt You, Ephesians chapter 6. Heard a story about a pastor that went to visit a member of his congregation who was in a convalescent home. So he arrived in a room and he had missed lunch and he was hungry and this lady was asleep. So he thought, I don't know when she's going to wake up, but I'm sure hungry. And there sitting right next to her bed was a bowl of peanuts. And he thought, I really shouldn't eat her peanuts, but I am hungry. And he was so tempted and he thought, I'll just eat one. So he had one peanut. It was delicious. So he had two and then he had three and she kept sleeping. So a little while passed and he ate the whole bowl. She finally woke up. He said, I'm so sorry. I was hungry. I missed lunch. I ate all of your peanuts. And she said, oh, that's okay, Sonny. I already sucked all the chocolate off of them. That's just so bad. Now, confession, I was that pastor. No, I wasn't. You know, temptation is everywhere. In fact, temptation and spiritual attack and conflict as a follower of Jesus is going to follow you to the last day of your life. It doesn't stop until you get to heaven. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be harassed. You're going to be hassled. You're going to be attacked. Why? Because bottom line, Satan does not want you to follow Jesus Christ. But the good news is God knows our breaking point and he won't give us more than we can handle. It's been said Christians are a lot like tea bags. You don't know what they're made of until you put them in hot water. You can handle more than you think you can handle. You're stronger than you may think you are if you're trusting in the Lord, but God will not give you too much. And really, we're in a battle, and there's no getting out of this. And here's our choice in this spiritual conflict. We're going to fight or we're not going to fight, and thus we're going to win or we're going to lose, or we're going to be victorious or we're going to be defeated. Now, sometimes we feel like we're losing. Mike Tyson once said, quote, everyone is a fighter until they get hit. And that's true. You can talk about resisting temptation, but when it hits, how will you do? Yeah, if you've ever watched any film of Mike Tyson boxing, you know when he hit someone? He took years off their life. I remember watching one match. I don't think it was Holyfield, but someone else Tyson was fighting, and he hit them, right, you know, hit him right in the jaw. And the person, the other boxer, literally just sort of shook and then collapsed to the ground. Maybe you feel that way at times. You're just getting hit and you don't know if you can take any more. But God will be with you to give you the strength to get through it. But sometimes we may wonder, why does the devil do what he does? Why is he so depraved? Why is he so wicked? Why is he so persistent? Here's a simple answer. Because he knows his time is short. He knows his days are numbered. Fascinating passage from Revelation 12, verse 2. It talks about the devil and sort of a rampage in the end times. And it says, rejoice, you heavens and you that dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury. Listen, because he knows his time is short. Satan is full of fury and he knows his time or his days are short. Now, knowing Christ is coming is a good thing for Christians. It's an incentive to share our faith and to live holy lives. But for the devil, it's an incentive to attack our faith and try to make us stumble and fall and to take as many with him as possible. Listen, folks, this is not a church picnic. This is a war that we're all in. And the Bible often uses the imagery of soldiering in war to describe the Christian life. We're told over in 2 Timothy 3, we should be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And Paul wrote, I fought the good fight. And that's why I've called this series, The Good Fight. And we face a formidable foe. Martin Luther had it right in his great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, when he writes, quote, for still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. That's true. There's no equal of the devil on earth. But then Luther goes on to say, but a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. So our God is far greater than the devil. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And we know this, we win in the end. So that's good news. Okay, let's read about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 10 to 18. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Okay, so we have some Roman armor that showed up while we were reading. And this is a pretty accurate reproduction of the armor that a Roman soldier would wear. And this, by the way, is what Paul is referring to, because Paul spent a lot of time hanging around Roman soldiers. That's because he was sent to prison for preaching the gospel, and on more than one occasion, he was chained to a soldier. So he figured out how all this armor worked. You know, we have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. And here's a smaller shield that I'll explain in a moment. But every piece of Roman armor was important. Why? Because we're in a battle, and this helps us to face, well, those fiery darts of the wicked one. Years ago, I was giving one of my first messages as a young preacher. I was very nervous. I decided to preach from Ephesians 6, the same text we're looking at. And people still remind me of this blooper I said that day. Some of you may already know it. So I'm reading through Ephesians 6, and instead of saying the fiery darts of the wicked one, I said the diary farts of the wicked one. That'll probably be on my tombstone. He said diary farts of the wicked one. Yeah, I did. Now I just said it again. Those are the flaming arrows of temptation and attack that come our way. So what are we supposed to do? Principle number one, if you're taking notes, you might write this down. We need to stand in God's strength, not our own. We need to stand in God's strength, not our own. Verse 10, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Know this, you are no match for the devil. You would never want to take him on in your own strength. You're not fighting for God. You're not being strong for God. You're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. You're resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ for you on the cross, where he said that word, tetelestai, which is translated, it is finished, which means it is accomplished. It is done. It is completed. What was accomplished? Well, he purchased our salvation. And Satan was defeated at the cross. So I don't come to Satan in my own strength. I come in God's strength. And this is a very important distinction to make. A decisive blow was dealt against the enemy at the cross. And so Satan knows your closeness to God and fellowship with him is your power base. So his objective is to separate you from God in fellowship. His chief aim is to get between the soul and God and to separate man's heart from God and inspire confidence instead in himself. Now, I want you to notice what Paul says here. He doesn't say, put on the armor and be strong. He says, be strong and put on the armor. You see, you have to first be strong in the Lord. Everything we'll talk about with this armor is meaningless if you're not standing in God's strength and not your own. Principle number two, we need to put on the whole armor of God, every piece. Paul uses the various pieces of armor that a Roman soldier would wear to make his point. Each piece is interconnected. It's the helmet of salvation. It's the breastplate of righteousness. It's the shield of faith. It's the sword of the Spirit. So each one has its place, but here's what we need to know. We don't pick and choose what pieces of the armor we want to wear or don't want to wear. We wear it all because every part is important. So you're saying, okay, good, but what does this mean in real life? Okay, listen to this now. The armor represents both our position in Christ and what we should do with that position. The armor speaks of what God has done for you and then what you should do for God. So this is standing in what God has provided for me. And every piece is important because if you leave one piece off, that's where you're going to be vulnerable. If you're not wearing your helmet, that, like if I'm facing a guy in battle and he's not wearing a helmet, what am I going to go for first? Or if I come up against a guy and he doesn't have this breastplate on, I'm going to go right here because that's where the vital organs are. And so I'm going to look for the areas that are the weakest so I can be successful in my attack. And in the same way, that's what the devil does. So you might say, well, I'm really strong in this area of my life, but I'm kind of weak here, here, and here. So I don't have to worry about that. I'll just work on this. Hold on. The area where you think you're the strongest, that's where you could end up being the weakest. Why? Because an unguarded strength is a double weakness. So let's say you say, I would never be unfaithful to my spouse. I would never consider that temptation. Now, I know I'm weak here and here and here, but that area, I've got that covered. Guess where you're going to get hit? And guess where you may fall? Because the Bible says, pride goes before a fall. You see, so you have to keep your guard up in every area of life because you could always be vulnerable in a way you don't realize. So let's start with the first piece of the armor, and this one isn't reflected in this armor I have here, but I'll call it the utility belt of truth. Look at verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. See, everything a Roman soldier needed was interconnected with the belt. In this belt that the soldier would wear, the breastplate was connected to it. The sheath of the sword was connected to it. So it was vital. I mean, in other words, if you pulled his belt off, well, his dress would come down, his toga here, would drop down below the knees, his breastplate would fall off, his sword and sheath would fall off. Obviously, that soldier would be vulnerable, so maybe the belt is not the most exciting part of the armor, but it is an essential part. And also, it's interesting, he says, girding your waist with truth. What does that mean? Girding's not a word we generally use, but it's a biblical word. The Bible tells us on more than one occasion to gird yourself. In fact, Moses told the Israelites in Exodus 12 that they were to eat their Passover meal with haste. Eat it quickly. The Israelites were to eat their meal quickly and then have their sandals on, their staff in their hand, and their loins girded. You say, okay, what are loins and how do you gird them? Okay, think of this. It's like your robe. And you pull it up above your knee here to give you mobility. So to have your loin girded means your belt is tight, your armor is on, and you're ready for battle. When a Roman soldier would relax, he'd take off this bulky armor, which was not comfortable, take off this helmet, and loosen up his belt, let the garment down, just kind of hanging out. Hey, time to go to battle. Tighten that thing, pull it above the knees, get everything fastened on, and off you go. What it means is you're in a constant state of readiness because you never know when an opportunity will come to share your faith. You never know when an attack will come against your faith. So you're in constant readiness. If we were to put it in modern vernacular, we would say something along the lines of have gas in your car, have your cell phone charged, and have your running shoes on. You know, I'm ready to go. That's the idea being conveyed here. Now, this utility belt that the soldier would wear is similar to what a police officer wears. The officers call it their Sam Brown. And on the Sam Brown are all the items that an officer needs when they are on duty and doing their job. You know, they'll have their holster for their gun. They'll have their place for the extra magazines for their gun. They'll have handcuffs, a flashlight, maybe a walkie-talkie, maybe a baton or an asp, as it's called, a little metal thing that kind of extends out to whack someone if you want them to behave. And they might have some pepper spray, and they have a little place to hold a donut right here. It's just a joke. Okay. But you know, you take the Sam Brown, the utility belt off an officer, they're vulnerable because this is where they keep all their stuff to do their job. We need to keep our belt on. What does this mean? The utility belt of truth represents a life and a mind that is pulled together and is ready to serve for God's glory. Let me repeat that. The belt of truth represents a life and mind that is pulled together and ready to serve for the glory of God. And that starts with the truth of what the Bible says about everything. Truth is in this book. And we need to believe what this book says, and we need to learn to start thinking and acting biblically. Far too often, we'll be moved by our emotions and our feelings. No, it's the Word of God that we should be living by. So you start with that truth, and listen to this. Then you live by that truth, and you live truthfully. Now that brings us to the breastplate. Now, there were different versions of the Roman breastplate. This is one with these layers of metal. Others were sometimes made out of leather, and they would be sort of like in the shape of a very muscular guy, right? Sometimes they were metal. I wish they would bring those back, by the way, you know, because even if you're out of shape, you look good wearing that breastplate. Hey. But this breastplate is important because, what is it called? The breastplate of righteousness. Now listen to this. Don't miss this, please. This righteousness is not speaking of all the good things we do for God. It's speaking of all the good things that God has done for us. This righteousness that is our breastplate that protects our vital organs is the imputed righteousness of Christ. Look, if this guy has his breastplate on, his vital organs are protected. If I hit him in the leg, he could survive it. If I hit him in the arm, he could live through it, even without an arm. But if I hit him here and he doesn't have a breastplate on, he'll die. And so the breastplate is essential, protecting those essential organs that we need to live. What it means is I understand that Jesus Christ at the cross purchased my salvation, and he not only forgave me of my sin, he put his righteousness into my spiritual bank account. It's called the imputed righteousness of Christ. That's what justification is. Justification is God removing my sin and putting Christ's righteousness into my account. So now I stand positionally righteous before God. Now, honestly, there are times I don't live as I ought to, but that doesn't mean I'm not positionally righteous. Sort of like your kids. If your kids do something wrong, they don't cease to be your kids. They're just your naughty kids. But they're still your kids. So as a child of God, with my salvation purchased by Jesus, I'm his child, and maybe I'm a wayward child, maybe at times I'm a prodigal child, but I still stand in relationship with him. That's the breastplate of righteousness that Christ gives to me. You say, well, I don't get how this works in battle. Here's how it works. The devil comes and he attacks you. First he tempts you, and he'll say, hey, why don't you try this little sin? So I won't do that. Oh, come on, try it once. No, I'm not going to do it. Oh, just try this free sample. Okay. And you try it one time. You're like the preacher with the peanuts, right? You eat the whole bowl. And then payday comes. Then the devil comes and says, you miserable hypocrite. You're such a sinner. Don't even consider reading the Bible. Don't even think about going to church on Sunday. Don't even consider praying. God would never listen to someone like you. And you go, oh, it's true. I'm so bad. I can't approach God. Hold on. I can approach God anytime, not because of the good I've done, but because of the sacrifice that he made for me. That's the breastplate of righteousness. Listen to this. Satan will always try to keep you from the cross, and the Holy Spirit will always draw you to the cross. So when you've sinned, that is when you run, not walk, to church to get help from the Word of God and from God's people. When you've sinned, that's when you open the Bible and read it. When you've sinned, that is when you pray and ask God to forgive you of your sin and call it what it is. So I wear this breastplate and it protects me from the attacks of the enemy. I'm standing in his righteousness. This verse sums it up perfectly, 2 Timothy 2:22. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace, and enjoy the companionship of those that call on the Lord with pure hearts. So what it means is Hang out with godly people who do godly things. Listen to this. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. What kind of people do you hang around with? Godly people? Or are you uncomfortable around godly people? You'd rather hang around with people that don't care about God. No. Pursue righteous living. You know you're righteous in Christ because what he did. Now live a life that reflects that. Otherwise, you can remain forever in a self-imposed prison. Hey everyone, thanks for watching our program today. And let me just say to you, if you have not asked Jesus Christ to come into your life to be your personal Savior and Lord, you can do it right now. I would consider it a privilege to lead you in a prayer where you would be asking the Lord to forgive you of your sins so you could know that when you die, you will go to heaven, so you could find the meaning and purpose of life that you've been searching for. So if you would please, if you want Christ to come into your life, if you want your sin forgiven, if you want to know that when you die, you'll go to heaven, pray this prayer after me. You might even pray it out loud. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but you died on the cross for my sin and shed your blood for all the wrongs I've done. I'm sorry for my sin. I turn from it now. I ask you to come into my life and be my Savior and my Lord. Be my God and be my friend. Thank you for loving me and accepting me and forgiving me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Listen, if you just prayed that prayer in a minute, I want you to know on the authority of Scripture that Christ himself has just come to take residence in your heart. The Bible says, these things we write to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know it right now. You have God's word on it, and you can take that to the bank. Listen, if you would like to know more about our ministry, or if we're doing an evangelistic outreach in your area, or many other resources that we offer, you can go to our website. It's greglaurie.tv. Again, greglaurie.tv. I hope to see you again soon. God bless you, and thanks for tuning in.